Hey, Quang here. I hope you're enjoying the XP Share podcast. If you agree with my takes, you should tell everyone in the Cracked Media Discord. If you disagree, you should go to the Cracked Media Discord and find CJ_Zephyr. And only tell him. Privately. Thank you.
A Gamers. Episode 50. Like, just straight episode coming 50. At you.
Episode 50 and Quang's not fucking here.
And Quang's not fucking that, here.
That's about right, isn't it?
It's wild. It's almost like it's eyes. Mother's Day or something.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Imagine having a mom, right?
See, over here in the UK, we had Mother's Day like a month or two ago. So,
really?
we have ours right at the beginning of the spring season. Always around my mum's birthday, which is the 12th of March. So, yeah, I got that shit out the way. You all need to catch up.
Well, that's convenient.
Well,
for you.
Apparently, we did now. Apparently, we just caught up.
Yeah,
like we just got here. So. Shout out to Quang. Shout out to Quang's mama. Shout out to all the moms. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to
Mommy Juice. You know what I'm
shout
saying?
Shout out to Miss Quang.
You know what I'm saying?
Miss Juice, Miss Zephyr.
Absolutely.
Today's a big day for us.
Yeah, no, the people that honestly are the only reason that we are able to function in any meaningful capacity, at least on my end.
100%.
I don't know about you guys. I was on a test tube, baby. The fuck? Weren't you?
Bro, weren't you? I was a test tube, baby. They need a fucking refund on that.
He said, well, the test failed.
Oh, God.
So silly.
I was gonna say something so bad.
Oh my god.
We do have a few things though.
It's been 5 minutes.
We do. I actually called my mom this morning, believe it or not. and I actually sent her our sponsor deck that we made. I was like, hey, if you know anybody who's looking in these demographics for any reason, they need something, have them read this. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I don't know anything about gaming, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, it's basic advertising.
Yeah.
I don't know why gaming specifically has to be put in there, but. But then she followed that up with like, how can I sponsor? I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, if you want to give me money, by all means, but like, that's not how this works. So I spent
true.
15 minutes explaining it to her this morning.
But that's the beauty of a mother, right? It is the innocence of, I have no fucking idea what you're doing, but I want to support you. That's what it's all about.
I was just like, just think of like me as the NFL and like Cracked Media is like the fucking commission, and we just run events. And she's like, oh, yeah. That kind of makes sense. I was like, yeah, and that's why people pay for advertising. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well.
There's a lot more to it for sure.
Yeah. Everyone's like, break it down in the most simple terms possible.
You got to sometimes, don't you?
Yeah. But that's
a big shout out.
God, what a lot of shit has happened this week. Where do
we
start?
What a week it's been. I mean, I don't know. Like the fact that me, a 20-something-year-old nobody from the arse end of nowhere, commentated for a fucking Sentinels game on Friday.
Yeah, that was...
Like, what?
That was legit, dude.
That's fire.
For those with no context, we hosted a Sentinels match last Friday. This past Friday for Marvel Rivals. So that was fun. Not going to be the last time we see them either, because I'm sure they're going to be all over in the final bracket next week too, mm-hmm. which I think we're doing from the information we were told on Friday is that next week is just going to be all on Friday as opposed to it was originally supposed to be like a Saturday, Sunday thing. But yeah. I think they're smashing it into one day, which I'm not necessarily against.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it all goes, but we'll. It's interesting. It's been really fun to sort of watch that high level play. In a game that you know I know a little bit more about.
Yeah.
You know, and Sorin has been great as a partner as well. He's taken on the analyst, the color role. But you know, watching you know, fucking Ramazing was incredible. On that Human Torch, Raymond was great on the Captain America. It's been really fun. I'm super excited for Friday. Playoffs is when everyone brings their A game, right? This is where the you know the boys grow up and they go to war. And so I'm really really excited. And it's an interesting game to commentate because it's you know similar to my Overwatch days, but at the same time you know having the sort of a lot more flying characters and a lot more verticality and a lot more synergy based gameplay, it really does open up the field to some really interesting matches to watch and you know combinations that you wouldn't typically expect.
Fucking Espeon came in the chat and was like, I miss when Captain America was ass.
yeah. That's true. On release, it was kind of like, oh.
But yeah, that was fucking fun, dude. And I actually got to produce that. I had a fill-in for our normal producer for the Marvel events. So that was interesting.
Mm.
New experience for you. Did you learn anything?
Me? No.
Just business as usual.
Business as usual, dog. Well, what I will say though is actually, I Ice is really good at what he does. He, for anybody who knows coding, he basically connects OBS to Google Sheets through Node.js and Python scripts. So he basically has like the entire control panel and all the assets are basically linked to GitHub and the sheet. So everything you change in the sheet pretty much updates on the OBS. So it's like it makes producing so like fucking mindless.
That's dope.
Yeah. That's talent. Talent, right?
He's he's good. He built the soon. Hopefully, you guys will see. Well, it kind of works on the same controller actually, but we're basically going to be using the same thing for Counter-Strike when we get that going.
Cool.
And he actually has like a whole. I'll have to show you guys later, or give everybody a little sneak peek of. It's a whole pick ban kind of like right under the casters, like CJ, you know how the caster view is right now.
Yep.
Just think of you guys a little raised up and right below is like the maps being pick banned in real time.
Kind of thing. I would love that. Because I think that was like the only thing we don't get to see is that sort of admin. And a lot of people think of like admin stuff in the background, but it's like, because you can analyze that as well. You can analyze, right, you know, we've seen, you know, especially with someone like Ryan Mazing who loves a flyer, right, they're probably going, you know, what map are they looking to avoid? And that can build up a story going later into the tournament, especially when we get to playoff side. I love that.
Well, it's basically just for Counter-Strike, and it basically works the same for Valorant too, since you don't really ban maps yet in Marvel Rivals, so we haven't really had a need for it. But yeah, it's just like literally live. Just I think he has it, if I remember correctly, he has it all set to a drop down, and again all the assets are connected, so it's just like, oh hey, map picture, drop down, pick, bam.
That's great.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
No, that's real. That's real exciting.
Unofficial farewell to. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, anything that sort of gives us more to sink our teeth into on the desk, I am all for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, would you want to do Counter-Strike? I don't know if that's your, like, alley.
Counter-Strike is in my alley, but I'm not going to say no to an opportunity, because it might be a case of, like, you know, I'll give it a go, and if it doesn't work for me, then whatever. But, like, you know, Counter-Strike is, you know, something where I can sort of do play-by-play, and, you know, if I know I'm doing it ahead of time, I will do the research, I'll figure out what's going on.
Well, I think
Marvel Rivals was just something I jumped to because I know that style, right?
Well, yeah, and I think it's a lot more easier than, like, Marvel Rivals, too, because you don't have to, like, you don't necessarily have to, like, know characters, I guess, in a sense. Yeah. It's more of oh, hey, between these five people, oh, somebody threw a flash grenade. Oh, somebody threw a smoke grenade. Oh, he died.
I'll put it this way. I would rather do Counter-Strike than Valorant because I don't understand Valorant. But Counter-Strike, I like I said, I'm not going to say no to an opportunity. Worst case scenario, I do it for a week and then we have a chat. It's like, I love doing it, but it's not for me. But, you know, and this is a lesson for life, you know, never say no to an opportunity.
Yeah. I'll let you know for sure. We're, currently, I think we do have access to an observer. So I'm basically looking for a producer for it. And then, I kind of need to redo the rule book and then I guess start looking for teams.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fingers crossed.
I feel like I could adapt to Counter-Strike as well because it's a little slower.
Yeah.
I feel like you've got like, well, you know, Counter-Strike is that slower pace, which is sort of easier to do play-by-play for. Then you've got Marvel Rivals, which is that happy media. I think Multiversus was a little too quick for me because there was so much going on at every one time.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
Yeah, but I'm down for it. I am down to go to Party Town.
Speaking of which, unofficial RIP to Rivals. Well, from us, technically. Servers don't shut down for a few more weeks, but last event was two Fridays ago. Yes,
Wayne. You said RIP to Rivals, by the way.
Multiversus.
Oh, Multiversus. Jesus, sorry. My bad.
Rivals of Aether is already dead.
It's already dead.
What does that mean?
Imagine. No, Multiverse. Sorry. Number 12 was 2 weeks ago. I did have a couple people ask me last Friday if there was an event. No. Sorry. What I think and what I hope is going on is, if anything, we're going to be able to fund a kind of quote-unquote finale, which I believe is being supposed to be thrown by the competitive Discord server for Multiverses, but that's in the air. So if that comes to fruition, I'll support it. If not, like, it's been a good run.
Multiverses is the kind of game where 2 years from now, I'm so excited to watch the video essays that everyone makes on it. Because that is going to be such an interesting watch to see the rise and fall of Multiverses.
Yeah. It'll be cool if we get a little cameo as well, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The community, man!
Footage is out there.
I feel like Multiverses is going to be one of those games that kind of is just like, yeah, this was in the FGC for a little bit. Moving on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Next.
Yeah. It'll be like, you know.
And then there was like, Tekken.
There's that group that really love it and swear by it. And then there'll be that group. There's, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even then,
Iron Giant was in Smash. Hello,
Yeah, imagine, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate.
It was fun.
Indeed. Indeed.
Taking suggestions on new games.
New games to produce, or
To do tournaments on. I mean, well, here's the thing. I do want to kind of like constant rotation of like 3 to 4 tournaments at one time, but I would also wouldn't mind like having actual teams. Mm. You know, like actual esports team to compete.
The Splitgate beta comes out this month, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if it's out yet. Let me check Steam.
Deadlock might be an opportunity soon.
Might be an opportunity. There's a lot of... You know what? I've just opened Steam, and the Paradox Interactive sale is going on right now. Let's get a competitive Stellaris tournament going. Let's go. Let's do it. Competitive Foundry. Let's go. Oh,
you had me at Stellaris.
Yeah. No, go pick up some games. Like,
don't worry, Foundry. That'll only take like a whole week to complete a match.
But you know what? Yeah, a week long stream, we can do that. Restart it every 48 hours. But I'm just saying, there's a niche, right? There's a niche for people that would love that.
Yeah,
it's out there.
Well, I do eventually want to like kind of like get Crack Media in a rhythm to where we can do kind of like a news feed kind of thing every so often outside of the podcast, of course. But that's like way down the line kind of shit.
No, for sure. By the way, we have a date for Splitgate 2's open beta, May 22nd. Mark it in the calendars.
Oh, God. May
22nd.
Yep. 22nd. Which ironically is the Thursday after the next side quest.
Come on.
But I mean, if we want to delay it a day, like
not a bad idea actually. Yeah, yeah.
We can do that.
We can have a conversation about it, because I got to play the Splitgate Alpha for like maybe 3 hours before it closed. But it was fun, honestly. Like, as far as shooters go, you know, because like the portals still feel good, the shooting still feels good. There was a shotgun, I don't remember what it was, but there was a shotgun that was it was a battering ram, dude. It annihilated people.
Yeah, right.
But I'm excited for Splitgate 2, because I really enjoyed the first one. Like, I think the first Splitgate was the first person shooter in a very long time that I really got into and spent a lot of time on.
Yeah. Probably I just hope it's not like it doesn't turn into an identity thing, because it's like, again, like the little I played Splitgate 2, it feels so much more Call of Duty than like Halo, from like as opposed to the first one comparatively. Yeah. So it's like, are they going to continue with that and keep going down the maniac ADHD fueled train, or like, are we going to get like actual shields and protection back and kind of like slow down the gameplay again?
I guess we'll see. I guess. No. We'll, I mean, the beta could be very different from the alpha.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. The shooters, especially FPS, you know, it's like it's moving in that direction, right? Like, of course, there's a group of people that don't want the crack movement, you know, and then you also want like the dads to be able to come home from work and chill on the game and not have to worry about getting freaking 360, 180 wide wide on, you know, all day long.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the content that we digest and consume, though, is that, you know, what I mean, like, it's like that's where like a lot of the views and the impressions are leading towards. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go that way. Am I gonna go crazy on it? I don't know. As long as what happened in the first Splitgate doesn't happen in this one, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Because in the first Splitgate, me and J-Dog were like, crushing people. We were like, yeah, this game's great, man. We're having a fantastic time. Matchmaking's. And then we just hit a threshold, and it was protein after every single match.
Yeah,
it was a hard one.
Oh my god, we were getting horked on after a while, and I was like, "What? Like, how did we go from being top of the lobby to like obliterated from the lobby, just vaporized? Like, it just there was no the balancing was just terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
You could distinctly notice the point where when people went from oh, hey, I'm going to just casually run across the map. And then to getting into the sweat games where portal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was pretty bad. Like, the moment where you're getting shot from a portal and you don't know where that portal came from or how it even began to exist and you're just dead, you're like, okay.
Okay.
All right. What was that? Like, what just happened to me? I don't know. I mean, that's the one thing that really can kill a game, right? Is the skill gap. If the skill gap is just too wide, that game is not going to last very long. It just like your game would have had to started, you know, a decade ago or, you know, 15 years ago, like right when there was no other competition in order for that to still exist. But if your skill gap is too wide, good luck.
Right.
Good luck
in 2025, man. It's rough. I mean, I guess a lot of this sort of, you know, going into the fast paced stuff, you look at music and how music has evolved over the decades and the centuries, right? Started with operas where it's literally you're there for like 3 hours to listen to music and it's an event. And now, you know, you've got people releasing 2.5-3 minute songs you immediately get on your phone. I think it's just that thing of attention span. So,
yeah.
That slower paced gameplay, you know, there is probably some analyst working on the Splitgate team. It's like, you know, people want the fast paced shit. Like, you know, what's doing well right now? Black Ops, Fortnite, you know, Marvel Rivals, games that are fast paced shooters.
Racked.
Look at Fragpunk, even for like, you know, sort of that style of, you know, search and destroy primary game mode.
Oh, you know, I actually saw a tournament the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was a Fragpunk tournament the other day.
But those are, even Fragpunk, compare it to Counter-Strike and Valorant, like, it is a lot more of a fast-paced game. And the cards, you know, they add the chaos. I love the chaos of it. You know, I enjoy the chaos of the cards. It makes every game feel different and unique as opposed to the same thing over and over again. You know, every match is going to be different, but it is because the attention span of all gamers, you know, young and old, is slowly being worn down.
Yeah There's also a lower ceiling of entry for Fragpunk, which I like. I mean, it's hit scan essentially, right? It's not like, whereas with Valorant and CSGO, you really have like your movement and your timing has to be precise. You know, you can't you know, just run left to right in a room and just spray your gun and get headshots, right? Fragpunk kind of like it's basically Call of Duty and Valorant, but kind of just having a baby. You know, you don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to be first shot accurate? It's wherever your reticle is what you're going to hit. You know, now you just have to control the recoil, because the recoil can be a little crazy in Fragpunk. It's a great. I like Fragpunk. I think it's a great game.
I had personally a lot of fun when we played. Like, I never enjoy those search and destroy style games, but you know, I played it after the stream, which tells you a lot about a game. If like after my contractually obligated time to play the game, I continue playing it. Yeah, that's fairly that's telling plus. I enjoyed myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool.
Speaking of cool things coming up, you guys watch PAX at all?
I watched a little bit of it here and there. I was like listening into bits in between prepping from, because I had my first D&D session that I've run in a very long time yesterday.
Oh yeah, how'd that go, by the way?
That, honestly, it went really well. Was very happy with it. The players all said they had a lot of fun. So, you know, there's going to be a session two. So that tells you anything. Yeah, it went well enough where we're having a second game.
Not everybody died on first round.
Yeah, no. I go a little, I have a couple new players, so I go a little easy. But there was a boss at the end of the session with a second phase who got some fun abilities. So, you know, I still...
No Banshees round one.
Oh fuck that! Nah. Right, nah, fuck that shit. Fuck that. I did get to see, and I don't necessarily know the context for it, but I tuned in as the Borderlands stuff was going down, and I saw the Twitter and.
Well, sorry, that's pretty much all I watched. Yeah. Is the Borderlands part.
Yeah, sorry, the X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, as I've been told to call it.
Formerly known.
But yeah, and I've seen social media all over the place sort of blowing up about this Borderlands thing. So what's going on with that?
They got some... Oh, dude, man. They're cooking, bro. They're...
Cooking, bro.
they got some shit coming, man. Dedicated drops is just one big one. Huge. The perk system looks fucking amazing. Like, where you... in the previous ones, you'd basically just have one skill tree per character. It's like you get the skill tree and then it branches out to three more skill trees.
That's fun.
So
even more than that, they're making little changes to like the movement and the combat. You know, now you can melee an explosive barrel and it'll fly towards the enemy, and you can shoot it midair to blow them up. And they're gonna add with like a grapple gun that they're adding.
I do like a grapple.
They're cooking. They're cooking. I am very excited for it. Very excited,
bro. Nice. I don't know if you guys saw that clip, but dude, he fucking of course Randy's gonna be at the fucking. Of course, he's gonna be at PAX talking about Borderlands, but they were fucking talking about the rarities, and he was like, he fucking starts going, I swear he was on some kind of drug that entire fucking speech. Oh. He was like, you got your grays, you got your greens, you got your blues, he just keeps going on, you got your purples, you got your oranges, you got your perp. And then he just stops, and I'm like, nah, he didn't, dog.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah. and you know what? That's something worth mentioning as well, because that turned out... So they announced that legendaries are actually going to feel like legendaries. You know, rare items that you get are going to feel like rare items. Because I didn't realize this was a part of, or there was a ton of feedback around... Oh, if I get a purple at the beginning of the game, doesn't really feel like a purple. It feels like more like a blue, but it's a purple for where you're at in the moment. Yeah. But you still find yourself selling it because it's cool, but this blue is low key better, you know, for what I need right now.
Yeah, that's the thing I always hated about the whole system is like, especially the perfect example, of course, Borderlands is like you said, you level 15 gun drops, it's a fucking legendary, but like, hey, I got a level 17 gray that fucking does twice as damage.
Exactly. So they said that that's one of the things that they're working on is making legendaries actually feel like a legendary weapon, vice versa. You know,
then again, we all know it's all about the end game. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's probably going to be, you know, this weapon is gray, this weapon's purple. This weapon, the gray might be a higher level, but this purple has a ton of more passives, you know, or extra damage that you can do on the back end.
Well, so you kind of have to weigh like what's more important. That's the other cool thing I almost completely forgot to mention. The fucking like everything's an attachment now. You're not bound to one gun type.
That was probably the most cooking shit I seen.
Yeah, that's like, fucking.
Oh my god,
that's gonna be where
it's at. Take attachments from the different gun manufacturers and make it into one. Oh, dude,
come bro, on. He
sounds like what are you talking about?
Randy had a whole conversation with a guy on X, who was talking about like quote unquote balancing, and he's like, "We don't give a fuck."
Hey, well, it's a single you player made game, it, isn't it? Like,
it's a single player
it.
Game, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You made an OP fucking gun that just melts bosses in 2 seconds. By all means, to fucking have fun. Like, we ain't gonna nerf that shit.
Why would we nerf it? Yeah, like, congrats. You know, that's yeah. No, nah, I agree.
That's see, that reminds me of like Fallout 4. And you know, like you get your little 10mm pistol at the start of the game, and then throughout the game you're customizing it, building it up, you know, crafting it into something beautiful. Like any game that lets you play around with your weapons and you know really make them your own, all you guys need is the ability to name your guns, and you'll be off to the horses. Because then you'll have, you know, Mikey's Evaporator 5000 just going around lasering everything like that.
You might be on that. You might be.
That's a little too PG for me. My names are going to be a little more X-rated.
Evaporator, more like.
Listen, honestly, I've never played a Borderlands. I might look into Borderlands 4. I've never played a Borderlands game. Because I never really got into looter shooters when I was gaming on consoles.
Okay, it
was
so
the thing that I did.
You don't have to go all the way back to one, but
play two.
They are like at least. I shouldn't even say at least. They are episodic. So like there is a bit of bridging of connection on every Borderlands. Mm. The one I would say you could really just forget about is pre-sequel. Like that's the only one I would just throw out the window. Other than that, you should definitely try 1 through 3 if you get a shot. Tiny Tina's was pretty good. It's a great game. It's like you'll kind of get the story of Tiny Tina's if you played Borderlands 3, but it's like it's not like a huge story continuum.
No, for sure. And like I know like sort of the basis of Borderlands. Obviously, I know Handsome Jack, and I know all like the big stuff about it is
good, dude.
You know, y'all were playing Borderlands, I was playing Prototype, right? Like,
hey, that's a great game, though. Prototype is a fantastic game.
Man, between Handsome Jack and fucking what's his face, it's a pretty tight one.
Yeah.
Boss.
Oh, Voss. Yeah. Far Cry. Yeah.
Speaking of Far Cry, very quickly, Far Cry 4 is on Game Pass, and I'm so excited. I'm going to play that shit. One.
Oh. Is it really? Oh. Don't tell me that, because I just bought the pack on fucking Steam.
Yeah, dude, Far Cry 4 is on Game Pass. So basically, Far Cry 4 through to Far Cry 6 are now on Game Pass.
Nice.
I love Far Cry 4. I love Far Cry 5 as well.
I literally just bought that whole pack like 2 months ago. I shit you not. 1 through fucking 6. It was like, I want to say 50, 70 bucks. It wasn't bad, but it was like,
okay.
Like I got a steal for it, but like they're on Game Pass now? Come on, man.
Not all of them. 1, 2, and 3, Blood Dragon, like anything before 4 is not on.
Well, still, 4, 5, and 6 are the ones I haven't played, so.
Yeah, no, 4 is really good. 5, I love so 5 much.
5 is chef's kiss, man.
And, like, it's really interesting for me. Like, we're going to go on a Far Cry tangent here. Because, obviously, you know, you associate Far Cry with, like, all of these exotic foreign places. You know, we've got the Himalayas, we've got the islands in the Caribbean, we've got Africa from Far Cry 2. And I know that for a lot of you guys in the States, Far Cry 5, it's like, okay, yeah.
This is home.
It's Far Cry from home. But for me, rural America, like, you know, just a fucking, you know, Hope County, Montana, or whatever the hell it is. Like, for me, that is a foreign and exotic place because it's so interesting to go through and just see. Like, obviously, it's a very, you know, exaggerated because it's Far Cry, but just to see that side of life is so interesting as someone from the other side of the world. And Joseph Seed, I think Joseph Seed competes with Voss. Because Voss's performance and character, yeah, absolutely, probably takes it a little bit. But because we get so much more time with Joseph, I feel more connected to Joseph. Like, I think you will love Far Cry 5. The mute protagonist, I'm not all for. I think that's my major gripe with the game is you don't have, like, you know, you don't have Brody making his comments because Brody was a big part of Far Cry 3.
Sure.
So should I skip four then?
No, don't skip four because four is still very, very good. For me, it goes like Far Cry 5, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4. But all, you know, but they're still fucking great. I've never played Far Cry 2. I really want to play Far Cry 2. But
what about, like, six?
Six, I never got to the end of it. I feel like I would need to sit down and play it through properly. Gameplay wise, you know, it was more of the same of a Ubisoft game. The story seemed to be going in an interesting direction. But I never finished it. Far Cry 4, I think, is third in that list, but I wouldn't skip it because being able to go through Kirat is just, it's a really, really amazing place. It's a beautiful sandbox. And Pagan Min, whilst I think he is the weakest of the three with Voss, Joseph, and Pagan, that does not mean he's a bad character. Pagan is, you know,
He has his moments.
That last conversation, the first and last conversations with him for me, on par with Voss and his whole, like, his whole thing.
I already forgot the first conversation, so fuck. Yes, I need to restart.
You'll remember it again once you see it.
the first conversation means more at the end of the game. Like, because then it's like, oh, like, it is this eye-opening thing. Because obviously there is also the everyone's favorite secret ending in video games is the Far Cry 4 one at the start. Which, in my personal headcanon, is the canon ending. Because, you know, that, like, I would just sit and enjoy the crab rangoon, all right?
Yeah, he told me not to move. I hear a lot of electricity and screaming going on. I'm staying right here. This food's fantastic.
Garlic butter. Don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not mentioned New Dawn because I think the gameplay of New Dawn is fun, but the story is kind of meh. It's like, I'm not going to say anything on the story because you haven't played Far Cry 5. Major fucking spoiler alert. But there's a reason they call it New Dawn. But no, I love, Far Cry 5 is I think it's my favorite Far Cry. I really, really do. I love it. It's a really interesting story. And the music in that game, fucking hell.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, that's true.
I am not a religious person, but to quote one of my favorite video essay YouTubers, like, for a few moments, I felt like a believer, right? Like, it's good. It's really good. Like, that's not even true. It's, like, when I think of, like, soul music, that, you know, that is a song that fucking gets to you, right? Fuck, there's some good shit in that.
No, I agree. They, you know, what's funny is, I kind of feel like I'm starting to lean in the direction of Far Cry 5 as well, because when we had our discussion about our favorite antagonists, initially I was like Voss and then Joseph Seed. And then you went into that rant where you were explaining why you like Joseph Seed more. And as I'm listening, I'm like, got a point, man. Joseph C. was he was definitely that guy.
Yeah, he was that guy. I think it's definitely the, like, you play through it again a couple years later, and then it's like, yeah. It's like, don't get me wrong, the whole game's not perfect. There are a couple of weak moments, but also, but you know, but oh, it's so good. Oh, yeah, it's so good. Oh, Jado, you're gonna have a fucking blast. You're gonna love it.
Whenever you do play Far Cry 5, Jay, let me know, because I'd be down to run through that game again. But in the co-op's great. The co-op, mm-hmm. great.
I'd
be down to run through it again.
Maybe like 2 hours into 4, and I haven't touched it in like a week.
Two weeks. Okay. Yeah. No, fair enough. Is there co-op in 4?
I think it was the first one with co-op. Yeah, it was the first one, because you got Herc. That's the introduction of Herc.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm super down to play that again.
Yeah,
for sure. Maybe we can get through it.
Make it happen.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. What's this about Lupo?
Oh.
Because this is completely blown over my radar.
That was like, I think that happened like literally a day or two after the last podcast. I don't know. I didn't really look into it much. I just heard he cheated, and I guess I was like in a chess tournament for some shit. that's pretty much all I know.
God damn it, Dr. Lupo.
Yeah.
He's like he's in a chess tournament. He's starting to get his ass kicked by someone, and I guess he's, according to him, turned on a cheat engine that would feed him like the perfect moves, and so. I think they said he had like 26 perfect moves in a row that only the world's greatest chess players would know. And then it became clear at that moment. I don't know exactly how he was caught. I don't know who brought it up, but eventually it was brought out and he admitted to it, made a video.
When they rate chess nowadays, there's basically, you either I think there's 3 ratings. You either have like a perfect move, a blunder, or there's like a third one, I'm pretty sure. That's kind of like a middle between them. And a blunder is basically like you basically just sacrifice that move. So I think it's pretty much like they're figuring out the ratio between. Oh, he hasn't played chess at all, and he just did 26 perfect moves in a row. Like that's a little
The odds of you doing this by chance are so astronomically low, and you don't have the experience to be able to see those moves and play them perfectly 26 times in a row. Like there's some bullshit. Like you know, it's. Yeah, I can see that.
So yeah, he went on stream the following day and spent like the first 15 minutes talking about it and, you know, apologizing to his fans. And he basically was like, listen, I get it. Like, if you guys want to hate me and you don't want to follow me anymore, I was like, I'm a piece of shit. He's like, I did something scummy and, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, he brought it out, he talked about it, and, you know, and he moved on. It puts a bad stain on you, man. It's just, I gotta understand this mentality. I need to understand it more, because the cheating community in the gaming world is massive. And we've all had our asses kicked in video games time and time again. Never, ever, ever, fucking ever have I ever been like, maybe I should download some hacks. Or, like, maybe I need an aimbot, right? Like, that has never come across my mind at all. And so I wish I understood more of the I don't know, psychology behind it or whatnot. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I'll tell you what it is, Mikey. It's little dick syndrome. It's this thing called little dick syndrome. Dick syndrome. Where you gotta be good at everything, because if you don't, You don't have any self-worth because the value you have in life is how good you are at video games.
Hey, CJ.
You download Totally Cool Aimbot 5052. And then right, here's the thing. I would kind of get it if you could guarantee that the next match you get is against that same guy and you get to dunk on that same guy, right? Because then it's vindication on your... I'm not condoning it, but I would understand why. But the thing is, right? Little Tommy 57 who just headshot you on Fortnite from across the map. Newsflash, motherfucker. You're never going to see him again. You are never going to see him again. So you're just going to ruin some other kids. Little Johnny 12 is going to get fucked over because you decided to download hacks. Because you got little dick syndrome and you can't stand that there is someone out there in the world better at something than you. Newsflash, motherfuckers. Half the world is better than you at most things. Deal with it. Find where you sit on the ladder and stay in your fucking lane.
Yeah.
If you're about to lose, it's okay to unplug the Ethernet.
True.
I also think, right, because cheating is one thing, but chess is a sacred thing because it is a game that has lasted for centuries. It literally... Right, there are chess boards in museums that are hundreds of years old. Hundreds of years old. So it's a very sacred game. It's a very complicated game, but it's a game that anyone can pick up and play. If you're going to cheat at something like that, you are certain types of scum. Because like it feels like you're violating something very, very traditional and protected.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
It's one thing to download the new Call of Duty and then get a hacking client or whatever, but this is a game that has stood the test of time and is respected around the world, and you're cheating in a tournament that is effectively an event to show how important and special this game is. That's fucked. Hold up.
Even steroids are banned in chess. Really? I didn't know that. Not surprised.
Yeah, it is a very protected game, especially within its own community. Like it is sacred.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You know what? Fucking Dr. Looper, I'm sure you will recover. I'm sure you will grow. People make mistakes and shit. When people will learn and grow, and absolutely, the human race is an evolving species. But come on, dude, there's the common sense isn't common anymore,
right?
Well, I wish.
Like, God, Dad, can we go to talking about GTA 6?
Move on.
Can we go to the bingo card and cross off GTA 6? Like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
That's what I forgot to do this week, bro. You know what? Here. All right, we're going to do this. All right, ready?
Live and in living color.
Okay. Okay, ready? Let's see. This is next week already. Okay, guys. Just so you can all see. All right. Bingo. Yeah, I can't even spit. Oh, God.
That's literally a song about this.
Bingo card. If I forget to do this next week between Monday and Wednesday, y'all can have crack media. All right, I'm done. Obviously, I'm not fit for this.
The thing is, like, I feel like there's a paradox here because I feel like reminding you about the bingo card should be about the bingo card, but then we've already got the bingo card, so we're not going to remind you about it.
Don't do that to me.
It's already done.
You're already
fucked.
Yeah.
I love that, man. But yeah, listen.
May 26th, dude.
Next year. That trailer that they put out. Listen, I thought GTA 5 was a movie. You know? at this point, we're going to need an actual Grand Theft Auto movie. I mean, we need to just go ahead and just start figuring out who we're going to cast for the movie. And let's just let Hollywood have a stab at it, because GTA 6 is looking too cinematic, bro. I'm loving it.
I will push back on that slightly. It will work better as a TV show because you can do episodes that will be longer.
I'm not mad at it. If they can make every season, like each game,
fire.
Mm-hmm.
24 episodes.
I'll remind Monday on Discord. I appreciate that mute.
That'd be insane.
See, the thing with it, they went too hard. You didn't need to make the liquid in the bubbles. Like, they didn't need physics. No one's gonna see that. No one's gonna see the liquid in the bottles. You went too hard. Oh, I can't wait to play it in 2027 when it comes out on PC.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can't wait to play it when I'm 25.
Yeah, no, that will be a time for sure. I gotta get a PS5 now. I mean, thank God I still have another year before I really need one. But yeah, I'm gonna go missing. When this game comes out, make sure everyone knows. I might be on a milk carton. Just saying.
No one checked the stock market at the beginning of June. It's not going to look good.
Yeah.
Sell. I'll tell you right now, right, bro? As soon as May 25th rolls around, just start selling.
Just dump
it. Just start dumping it.
Because the next month ain't going to work.
Nobody's making money.
I guess we'll have to do a special episode at some point of, like, we go through every shot and we play everyone's favorite game show. Is it gameplay or is it a cutscene? Because I don't know. Like,
that's actually not a terrible idea, honestly.
Because they went on record and said half of this trailer is pre-rendered cutscenes. In-game engine cutscenes. Half of it is live gameplay. Yeah. If you drop that trailer at a game award, I would dead ass turn to you and go, "Oh, this is that fucking animated pre-rendered cutscene trailer bullshit. Show me gameplay." Can't use that argument anymore because there's a lot of gameplay in this. Apparently,
it's true. There are times where I would see that, see other games release and a trailer that looks really cool and very cinematic. And then, of course, you see the actual game itself and you're like, what the fuck is this? Right. But yeah, with GTA 6, you're like, nah, like, this is it. Half of this is the game, brother. I love that.
I will say, though, I'm putting a prediction in right now. The boyfriend's an undercover cop. I'm putting that prediction in right now. The boyfriend's an undercover cop. He's and at the end of the game, you're gonna have to pick which one of them you want to be. And you're gonna have to kill the other one. Somebody clip it, and a year and a half from now, a year from now when it comes out, if I'm wrong, don't show it to me until 2027 because spoilers. But I'm putting that because I look at that trailer, right? And obviously, she's coming out of prison, so she is the hardened criminal. She's like, oh, yeah, we're doing this. Fuck the system.
How are we going to get past that for a whole year, dude?
I mean, it's
one thing for movies, dog, but we need to, like, everybody who doesn't have a console and a PC only is going to have to curb stomp these fucking spoilers for a whole fucking year.
I find it really hard when they tape like an episode of WWE, and for like the whole week, right? They'll do it every so often. So they'll do an episode live, and then immediately after that, they will film the episode for next week. They do it a lot around Christmas, so that the wrestlers can be home for Christmas because that's a thing we like to do now. But it means for the next week, I cannot go on the internet in the wrestling space. I cannot read the news because it's all leaks. It's all leaks. Yeah. And I want to avoid that because I like to sit down and watch my show and watch it live and know what happens. And I don't like spoilers, right? And so I'm going to have to do that for a whole year. I might just have to quit Twitch for a year. Because...
yeah.
The GTA 5 roleplay scene is going to be dead, bro. It's going to be dead.
Yeah, probably.
So you're going to have two kinds of people, right? And I fall into the second camp. You've got the kind of people that either already own a console and are going to buy a console for GTA 6. And then you're going to have the people who don't do it and wait for it to come out on PC. The thing you have with it is a lot of people, especially in the 5M roleplay community, who are saying, oh, I'm going to buy a console so that I can play GTA 6. I'm like, motherfucker, you're going to buy it on PC anyway so you can do 6M roleplay.
Yeah.
So you're going to buy the game twice. You're probably going to have to upgrade your computer. And if you don't have the setup for a console, you're going to have to buy more equipment. Like, if I wanted to buy a console, I'd have to buy new, like, audio shit so I could hook it all up and stuff.
Need a headset.
Yeah, buying an upgraded PC is just going to be cheaper. And I don't need to buy the game. And I don't need to buy the game twice. So it's like...
I'm definitely buying a game twice.
Just need to cry for a whole year. I'm for sure.
Motherfucker.
I'm for sure buying a game. I bought it once on Xbox. I bought it once on Xbox, and then, wait. Yeah, I got it on 360 when it first came out, and then they upgraded it to the PS4. And like when I saw like the rain coming down and hitting the ground, I'm like, yeah, I gotta see the rain, right?
Yeah,
I bought it on PS4. And then GTA 5 on PC, bro. You know, 5M. I'm like, yeah, wanna roleplay for sure. I'm not proud of it, but it happened. It happened.
No, and I respect that, but also it wasn't the 2025 cost of living crisis when the video game is going to cost $100, right? Like,
I live in California, brother. It's about as bad as it gets.
No, I get that, brother. But like, if it's $100 a version plus, you know, the PC you're going to have to upgrade anyway, plus the console, plus all the stuff, plus, you know, I'd have to buy a bigger desk as well because there's no room on this desk. Like, I don't have $2,500 to drop to play this game. I'm just going to wait for it to come out on PC and suffer the consequences of my actions.
I will say this. On PC, I G2A'd it. So I didn't pay full price.
Yeah.
I got lucky with that one. It was like $13. I was like,
bro, sick. I'm pretty sure I accidentally bought it three times. If you include, I think I bought it for Steam and then accidentally rebought it on Epic, not knowing I already had it on Steam.
Oh
my gosh, sir! Yeah.
I fucked up. That was not intentional at all.
But no, they went very hard on that trailer. They went very hard on that trailer. And the one thing I'm curious about that I want to see more of, right, and this is my thing in games these days, is I want to see the clothing physics. Because all the clothing we've seen so far is quite skin tight. You know, they're in Florida. It's very hot in Florida, so you understand why. But I want to see, is there, like, if I'm wearing a loose jacket, does the jacket have a bit of floof to it? You know?
Yeah.
Because that is going to be interesting if that is the case. Because then, I'm curious. Gameplay, I'm very excited for the sandbox. I will be hesitant on the story. Yeah. But, you know, because we'll see what it's like when it comes out, because especially with the political climate, it's going to be very interesting. But as long as I can get, I can get on a motorbike and drive all the way through and, you know, have Radio Gaga going on in my ears as I do so, I'm on cloud nine, boy.
Yeah, I mean, the world's going to be beautiful, you know. I'm curious to see just how Advance is going to be. I mean, I still think that Ghost of Tsushima is the best looking game I've ever played, and so I'm definitely gonna be kind of trying to compare it to that when the time comes.
I'm sure it's gonna win though. I'm sure. I just can't see GTA 6 doing anything lowball. I think it's all gonna be $100,000 maybe. I'm excited.
Have you seen the map comparisons?
Yes.
GTA 5 and GTA 6. Like, yeah. I'm pretty like that. It's like double the size, maybe close to triple. It's kind of hard to tell. But the size of that city is huge, yeah. Brother. Like that's a big town.
That's a big,
yeah.
Looking at it, that it obviously condensed, but that is like the whole state of Florida.
They're just gonna come on by and be like, "Yep, here's this new island. Oh, by the way, you can travel back to like San Andreas yep. and like Vice City and shit too. So just no
that's,
big deal.
Oh. I feel like that's just, if there is gonna be GTA sick. 7, that's gonna be the one, right? You know, it's gonna be fucking Forza Horizon level shit where you travel around to the different cities. Like, imagine that, right?
That would be such an advantageous fucking game. Could you imagine real-time MMO style, like kind of like territory-based, just all-out GTA fucking... Make it like a Rust system almost. Like,
no, I can see it.
Yeah. Now that would be pretty badass.
But imagine the fucking roleplay shit, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm just going to go see my friend in Liberty City, and instead of logging into a different server, you got to wait like 5 hours of in-game time whilst you fly over to the other city. But purely for a merge, like, I want a GTA where I need to go through customs and deal with security, right? That's my roleplay server.
No, that'd be great. That'd be cool. A random thought that came to mind too is that because this is going to be in Florida, is there going to be any mention of Tommy Vercetti from Vice City? Right? Is there going to be any mention of the older characters from that game?
I feel like
is either the female lead or the male lead going to be related to Tommy Vercetti? Maybe. Like,
I feel like Tommy. I feel like it's got to be connection because GTA have always done that. Right, mm-hmm, they've mm-hmm. always have followed through. You had mention of San Andreas, CJ, and all that shit in Franklin's story in GTA 5. One of the people from GTA 4 was in GTA 5. They were a heister that you could, you know, you met them in a random encounter, and then you could get them onto your heist team. So I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if fucking Franklin shows up in Vice City because I forget the name of the actor that plays him, but he loves these fucking games. I would not be surprised if we get a cameo from Franklin.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Be fun. I'm excited. Yep,
I'm excited for it, man.
I think I heard rumors that they're gonna try to kill off, or not try, but they're killing off fucking Trevor in the beginning. And, you know, in GTA's style, you know, somebody has to go at the beginning just so it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Justice for Brad. Oh, dear.
No, I can't wait.
That's kind of interesting given, like, that there used to be this drama between the three actors of, like, the guy who played Trevor. Like, people thought he hated the role and then he didn't, but it's a weird one.
Yeah,
but I mean, my canonical ending is killing Trevor anyway, so he's already dead.
Me too. Yeah, that was mine as well.
That was my first, because like he's
level headers will prevail.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like Michael just got his life back. I'm not gonna kill Michael. Like,
yeah,
he's living his dream. It's like the old guy who's just making movies now, and his family finally like him. I'm not gonna kill him after that. Yeah. Like,
Trevor had to go.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Trevor was the loose end because he like Franklin finally got away from the gang life outside and was living his own thing. Michael finally got away from, you know, his past and his family, you know, there was that redemption story. What was Trevor's story He murdered people, and then he murdered his cousin, his buddy's cousin, and then he murdered the owner of the strip club, and then he owned the strip club. And like, you know, he was always gonna keep killing people. He had to go. Yeah. Like he had to go. He had to go.
Truthfully,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be fucking wild if they reference in GTA 6. You know, oh, there's this like group of mute guys in Los Santos that literally own everything. You know, because that's the GTA Online story, is that you know you're just a mute that literally is the most evil motherfucker in the world. So I don't know.
Basically,
yeah, it's wild.
What about the people who killed Mike already? Oh, I don't know.
If they pick the other way. Well, I mean, that's the thing. When you give a game with multiple choice endings, one of them has to be canon. And it's most likely the suicide mission, right? They're probably all still alive. But like, this is the... unless you have Telltale mechanics or Mass Effect mechanics where decisions are going to carry through, which I imagine GTA 6 will not have. Unfortunately, one of those... whenever you have a multiple choice ending, one of them has to be canon. And... So, but in my mind, it's Trevor is already dead because he was a psychopath.
Trevor is already dead.
Trevor's all like, I'm gonna learn to GTA 6. Trevor's gonna be in the first mission. I'm like, wow, Trevor had a twin called Trevor.
It's Trevor.
You're
instantly just pulls out pistol.
Yep.
Trevor is dead.
You're not Trevor. He's well cooked in Los Santos. He's smoke flavored. Oh dear.
It's gonna be a good year. I mean, this year is already pretty decent, and I think, I don't know. I think it's a question on how 2026 is gonna start out. And whether that momentum builds up to GTA 6 or if, again, everybody's just waiting for that. We need to know we need to wait till GTA 6 drops so we can can build our own hype.
Yeah,
it's gonna be real dry around that time next year too, right? Yeah, I mean, exactly. these other gaming companies, they're not dumb. They're not trying to release anything major around. There is going to be one. And it's probably going to be like fucking EA or Bungie that is going to be like, yeah, guys, releasing this update on this day. There's going to be one. Most companies are going to stray so far from May 26 next year. And they'd be wise to do so. And I think that will be a topic. That will be a historic topic alone.
Yep.
You know, May, June, July of next year is going to be the driest for the gaming industry because only one game's going to matter.
Here's what I'm thinking. How many games coming out in April?
Next year?
Yeah. How many games are going to
be April 1st?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? They're going to drop in April, right? Because then they've got 2 months to get their playtime out, right? We need to get our game out early. It's either going to be we have to wait until Christmas season and... you know, hope that we get that, or we got to drop in April so that we've got 2 months to enjoy having people playing our game before they all disappear. If you're an online game, just give up on 20, either release this year or wait till 27.
Yeah.
Well, everybody thought the Borderlands date change had something to do with GTA. They're just like, nope. Here you go. Early Borderlands.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely a whoof moment. Shit. This is about to go bad. I think like online service games will be in trouble. Single player games will be okay because, I mean, like you gamers, we don't mind swapping from one game to another. Like, all right, I've played this for 5 hours. You know, I kind of want to go play whatever this other solo game to kind of keep going through the story, but. The online service games, boy.
Well, boy. I haven't played a fucking straight game for, like, it's always like jumping between two, right?
Well, single player games don't need to worry about it. Like, you pay for it, and then that's the money done. Like, the online game obviously has the trouble of they need to pay for the servers.
Yeah.
And if there's no one on the servers, and no one buying the game, and no one buying the microtransactions, no one's buying the V-Bucks, like, so, you know, how are we going to pay for these fucking servers? Genuinely, are we going to see publishers offering GTA 6 insurance deals to their online games? You know, like, we'll cover you. We'll cover you in June.
Jesus Christ. Imagine.
How long is it going to be for the first speedrun to come out?
I don't know.
Depends on how many glitches are in the game.
Yeah, well. I will say.
I thought of that.
See, like, seeing that, right? Like, seeing the delay of a good few months. It, you know, clearly they are not just trying to release, they're going to release it in as good as a state they can.
Yeah.
You know, obviously some bugs are going to slip through the cracks. There's always going to be that. You cannot literally go through and test every line of code in a game big. But,
sure.
You know, it's not going to be a buggy mess. There is clearly, like, we are waiting until this game is ready. And, you know, we're making sure that when it comes out the oven, might be a little stodgy in the middle, but it is cooked. It will not give you salmonella. We're good, right? So, I'm excited. I'm excited to see. I don't even care for the story. I just want to be in the world. I want to see what that world is like.
I felt that. Honestly, that was how I felt when I played Spider-Man, you know, when they put it back on PS4 and whatnot. I actually streamed that game when it came out, and I spent a good 30 minutes to an hour just web swinging. And people even in the chat were like, fuck the story, bro, just web swing. Like, this shit is gorgeous. So, yeah, no, 100%. I'm definitely going to be the same way in GTA. I just want to drive around. And, I mean, again, one of my favorite things about Red Dead was you can just walk up to people and stand there and then just see what happens. Either they're going to walk past you or they're going to stop and you're going to have a random conversation about something completely random. And you might end up putting a bullet in the head at the end of it. Who knows? But like, name another game where you're doing that, you know? So
that is a good question.
Yeah.
Are we going to see an evolution of the Red Dead conversation mechanic? Like, are we going to see more of that? Or is it going to be, you know, a bit more GTA style where you don't really talk to the pedestrians? Because there's going to be a lot more pedestrians because we're in a modern day city. That's the thing with Red Dead. It's obviously there's less people around. It's more barren.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that's going to go. Also, so excited for 6M. And we're going to have to find the guy that does the house robberies on that big fucking map.
Good work.
No. GTA 6, I'm either a cop or a civilian. Fuck that shit. Like, do you know how long I've been looking for a crafting table in GTA 5 on this new server I'm playing on? Like, it's taken me a week and I have found like two or three crafting tables. No!
Yeah, dude.
No! Like, fuck that!
Yeah. Crafting table, finding anything secret is going to be crazy in RP.
You'll probably have, like, you know, kind of like they do in Red M, in like GTA 6 roleplay, if and whatever form that ends up taking. Where, like, in, because there's, like, from the look of the map, there's, like, three different fucking cities here. So you'll probably have, like, different roleplay communities in one server, but they're all hanging out in these different cities. And, like, you know, because it's not going to be one city that everybody's in. Like, in Redem, it's not, you know, because you've got Rhodes, you've got Saint-Denis. So you're probably going to have, like, different cliques in different cities, of different cliques in different cities. It's fucking... I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Not true. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, you'll probably
whole lot of fun.
People you never run into. So, fuck it. Let's see where this train goes. Ready.
Yeah.
There better be a train in this game. I want to be able to do the GTA 5 thing where I get on a train. There better be a fucking train that I could get on and I get to ride around the entire island on a fucking train. Okay. And it better be a GTA 5 train that does not stop for anything.
Naturally,
bring it on, Rockstar. Take the money.
Oh yeah, you can see.
Yep.
They got dynamic horse balls in Red Dog.
No, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. I'd never even noticed that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great game. Before we close out, a couple deadlock updates, bro.
Yeah, I mean, where do we begin? So deadlock, they revamped. So for one, they're no longer doing the like bi-weekly small updates here and there and patch notes and whatnot. They're doing more like monthly or bi-monthly massive updates. Some visual changes to this last update. They changed, so the map was recently went from 4 lanes to 3 lanes. But that's still the same. It's still 3 lanes, you know, at this moment. However, the number one, like the base, you know, where the final siege happens to determine who wins or loses the game, that's been completely revamped. Looks like almost like a throne room in like an elvish land or something. Like it just has this like real elegant look to it. I don't know. It's really cool. And so yeah, they made some visual changes, you know, making the map look, you know, pretty or whatnot. But really the big change is the item shop completely just gutted and just, you know, and changed up visually. Like you said, bro, gorgeous. Like, I mean, they changed all of the individual items in the shop and gave them more, you know, flashy images that really threw me off for a second. Like, I was used to seeing weapon is orange, vitality is green, spirit is purple, and just like knowing, all right, if you're this color, then you belong over here, right? That's not a thing anymore. It's, you know, you have to read the card. You have to know what you're looking at. I mean, and granted, you still have the tier, so if you want to click into the tier, you can do that. But it's really, 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 really beautiful. Now, that said, there's now, I don't know what you would call it, but like what, like item trees for some of the, you know, for some, yeah, of the items, you well, know? I mean, so if
they've always had that, right? Kind of.
No, actually not really. I mean, well, yes, in a sense, yes, but not to the level that they have it now. Right, so you can, you know, if there's, you know, like a tier 4 item that you want, then it'll, you know, you can see like the path to getting that tier 4 item,
yeah,
just by hovering over it, and the other items will also show up. They did have that in previous updates, but it's a lot better now, because there are some items that will go through each of the tiers. As opposed to before, it was like a tier 1 would go straight to a tier 4, or tier 2 would go straight to a tier, you know, it was kind of, it made sense once you played the game, you put some time into it, it made sense, it wasn't confusing. But for people who play games like Smite, for example, Smite has a really good system where it'll just, you want this item, all right, we're going to give you a literal tree where you see, you know, you need this, and you need this, you need this, and then it'll go to this, right? So yeah. It hasn't gotten quite to Smite's level yet, but it's a lot easier to understand now. I mean, even for me, because I'm having to learn these items fresh. Like, some of the items that are in the shop are from the past, but some of them have moved around tiers. So some tier 2s before are now tier 4s, or some tier 3s are now tier 2s. So, like, I basically had to learn the whole system over again. But yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. To add on to that, they also, previously the max number of slots that you could have was 16. Now max number is 12. So you really have to pay attention to like what you want to buy, and you're going to have to sacrifice one thing over another. And you know, in making those decisions. To add on to that again, now there's no, like, you're not forced to have you know, a minimum or maximum of items for, you know, weapon, vitality, or spirit. If you want to have an all spirit build, you can have an all spirit build. If you want to have an all weapon build, you can do that. So you can really overload in one area and, you know, kind of make that sacrifice for others. It's starting to feel like a true MOBA in that regard, at least. So, yeah, shout out to Deadlock, man. Valve's kicking ass. I'm digging it. I'm definitely digging it.
He's digging it.
That's fun.
It's I'm very curious to see where he's going to lead from here.
I just need to get back into it, dude. I feel like I was playing like absolute dog shit. Like, yeah, no, like you said, relearning the whole entire game, basically.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, before there was, you know, I felt like I could sustain in fights more, right, prior to this update. And it's true for the most part. So a lot of the fights that you have now, they're not lasting a minute or a minute and a half like they were before. It's now one person is just going to get randomly targeted, blown the fuck up, and then it just spirals down from there. So, you know, when you talk about mistakes and min-maxing, it's going to become even more important now. You got to really make sure you're paying attention to what you're doing.
Down for some more games.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. Oh, I finally got Sunderfolk on my end too, in case Wang didn't want to host it for whatever reason. I played a little bit. Seems pretty cool. Pretty straightforward. Decently won. I didn't even get past the prologue, actually, now that I think about it. So it seems to be pretty long. Yeah. Definitely not a single side quest thing. That's for sure.
It's multiple quests.
It's multiple quests. Do a side quest for each side quest. Literally.
Good shit. It feels good in gaming right now. Things are feeling good.
It's I know. Definitely positive.
Yeah. Yeah, halfway through last year, we were questioning the gaming scene for a bit. We were like, "Damn, well, it's kind of ass." And then towards the end of the year, we were like, "All right, it's not bad." And it's kind of consistently been on a good pace. I think. Yep. Yeah, I'm liking it.
Well, now good that
games have been coming out.
Now that I kind of think about it, kind of feels like a kind of like the normal loop. You know, there's like I want to say like every 5 or 6 years, the AAA area has this like 1 to 2 year span of actually putting out good shit. And then the rest of the years up until the next 6 year term is like a bunch of indie games and just filler.
Well, they gotta make their money so they can afford to do the big shit, right? Like, I think it's unfortunate, but it is part of the process. A lot of it is just the practices of the companies during those times, right? That's what we're more critical of a lot of the time.
Yeah, we love it.
Dude, I'm ready. Love it. I'm personally just ready for Borderlands. That's gonna be
oh man. Bro,
I've been playing Expedition 33. That's been my new game of the year. That I've been playing. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's turn based, but there's some strategy to it. The world is very, very pretty, so it's fun.
I was thinking about picking it up, but haven't played a good turn based game in a while. Nor have I really had the fucking time or attention span to actually drill through a whole game.
Yeah, no,
which kind of sucks.
In due time.
It is what it is. Right. Again, I just need fucking tournaments on self sustain, and then we can actually like have a life again for a while.
Until the next thing.
Until the next thing, exactly. It comes in spurts. But yeah. Episode 50. Holy shit.
There you go.
Did it. Half of a C-note.
We did half. It, Reddit.
Oh, well done.
This is great.
But yeah, unless you guys have anything, I think we're good. Friday.
That's what she wrote.
This coming Friday is the Marvel Rivals playoffs. Don't miss that for sure. Keep you guys updated on Counter-Strike and all that jazz. And maybe, I don't know. We got, it feels like we need to plan for 2025 still. And I need to figure out what that is.
We're almost halfway through the year, but you still got a plan for it.
Yeah, we got to flesh out the plan of the plan, you know? Actually, with that also said, be on the lookout for possible apparel. Cough, cough.
Ooh.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, maybe.
Capitalism?
Capitalism?
Capitalism.
But yeah, thank you guys for hanging out. Episode 50. It's been a fucking ride, dude, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a ride. Sure.
And I can't thank you guys enough for chilling and hanging out with us on this wonderful journey. Still not technically season 3 yet, but
still not technically.
But episode 50 is a milestone. Until next time. Catch you guys later.
Take it easy.
What do Juice Wayne and Batman have in common? Join the Cracked Media Discord to find out. The answer may not be there, but there are a lot of other cool stuff. I promise.